Thank you so much for listening to the Adulting Hour. Please show your support with a monthly donation of only 99 cents. If you have something you want to talk about, please leave a message and I'll contact you. And maybe we can do it on the show. Thank you so much.
Hey, good evening, everybody. Good afternoon, good evening, good morning to whoever's listening. I want to say thank you guys so much for tuning in to the Adulting Hour, where we talk about things that we wish we would have known coming into adulthood. Today, I have Lachey Johnson. Hello, Lachey. What's going on?
What's happening, Charles? How are you?
I'm fantastic. Hey, Lachey, was that something that you wanted to talk about that's near and dear to your heart?
Yeah, you know what? When you grow up, you become a parent, and you're looking at your kids like, what the heck just happened? Well, it's called karma, but at the same time, it's called your parents was right.
That is so true. That's so true.
Right. Your parents.
You know what?
Your parents are right.
Older, you're absolutely correct. Your parents were right.
Your parents are right. Your parents are not your enemy. They are your friend to the freaking end. They are not your enemy. They are someone to be cherished, somebody to be listened to be respected. You know, you may not understand as a child growing up what all of the modifications, ramifications, situations, ideations, or theories are, but your parents do. They know because, you know, they've been through. You understand? They've been through. They may not go through exactly what you go through or have gone through, but they are right. They're not going to tell you anything wrong. They're not going to tell you something that will harm you. And if they do, shame on them. You need to call the people on them with the quickness and, you know, get you some deliverance. But your parents are right. You know, they're right when they tell you go to school and get your education. That's how important it is, because they don't want to see you end up being the Joe Blow standing out there on the corner with a sign that says, need cash. I'm hungry. I'm homeless. They don't want to see you have a difficult road to live in life. They want things to be good for you. They have learned from their mistakes, and they're just trying to impart the knowledge that they have learned to you. You know,
it sounds like you got like hands-on knowledge and hands-on experience about your parents always being right.
Let me tell you something.
You got some instances,
Chuck. Let me tell you something. Yeah, I got a whole bunch of instances. God, don't do that. Don't do that.
Bring it. Bring it.
I got a bunch of instances. You know, like when they tell you, you know, wait till you're married to get to have sex or have a relationship or to be, you know, be with someone or, you know, but God forbid things happen down the line. You understand? I believe that generational curses are true. I believe that when things happen to people, traumatic things happen to people, that can alter the carbon of what it is that they would normally do, you know, being the character that an untarnished character. But, you know, when we're born, we become tarnished. We're no longer pure. We become tarnished because we meet people, and people can either sway us positively by speaking great words into our ears, or they can sway us negatively by doing something that is beyond what should even be happening, you know, to a child.
That's so true.
And so
that's so true.
Those things go into play when you decide not to listen to your parents, when you decide not, you're like, okay, hold on. You can see your parent make maybe a bad call, or you can see your parent go through something, you know, traumatic themselves, and then you can be like, okay, I wouldn't have did it like this. I would have did it like that. You know, that's what human beings do. We're very analytical people. We analyze what we do, what somebody else did, and what we would have done if we had been in that situation. We go through that, you know, but you never know what you'll do in a situation until you're truly in a situation, you know, and the bottom line is your parents, right? It doesn't matter how you try to twist it make it try to work out for you on another. You can't save your behind and your face at the same time, okay?
That's true.
You just can't do it. You can't save your behind and your face at the same time. So I guess I just really want to admonish and encourage, if you have any young listeners, or, you know, listen to your parents. You know, they're on your side, man. If they haven't told you to go jump off a bridge, if they haven't told you to poke yourself, kill yourself, if they haven't done anything that is detrimentally traumatizing to your soul, as to whereas you no longer want to live anymore, you know, that parent is on your side. That parent loves you. They're, and then the other part of that is this: no instructions come with being a parent. No instructions come with being a parent.
None.
But not only does no instruction come with being a parent, each individual person is different. And because each individual person is different, you have to deal with that person accordingly to what their differences are. But first and foremost, ground rules must be made. You have to respect. You have to have the respect there. You have to have, you know, the appreciation and the gratitude there, because this person has birthed you into the world, not knowing who you're going to be, not knowing what your purpose in life is, not knowing... probably even how to be a parent, you know, because there are no rules that come with it, you know. Takes a person. They could have went over there to your local neighborhood abortion clinic and just said, you know what, get this out of me. I don't want to deal with it. You know, this was a bad idea. I can't handle it. I'm not ready. They could have did that, but they didn't do that. I got to believe in my heart. They didn't do that because of love.
That's correct. Now I know that, you know, some people listen and say, well, that's because she has children and she just want her babies to trust and believe everything she's saying. But were you always that person that listened to your parent?
Who, me?
Yes, you.
Don't play with me.
It's a serious question.
No, I didn't. I never listened to my parent. I never listened to them ever. I never listened to them. And I think one of the reasons that I personally didn't listen is because I just had different ideologies than they did. And the only thing, I probably, like, as a teenager, you know, like a little kid growing up, I'd listen, you know. Your mom said, do this, do that. Yes, ma'am. Okay. You do what she tells you to do, because, you know, if you don't do it, you're going to get in trouble.
Right.
But then you become a teenager and it's like this whole other revolution is happening in your mind, and you're like, okay, I know, I just, you're making judgment calls, and you're making judgment calls off of snippets, like, you know, like how people post stuff on Facebook. They'll post something on Facebook and it's just a snapshot of their life. It doesn't mean that that's how their life is all the time.
Absolutely, you understand what correct. I'm saying?
And so in that, you'll make a judgment call in your mind as a teenager, because maybe you didn't agree with something your parent did or said. And then there you go. Well, I'm not going to do that. Well, she was wrong, in your mind as a kid, you know, a teenager, you know, you're just a teenager. You're a kid. Your mother is the adult. That means that she was already a teenager before. So you might want to.
That's true. People don't even understand that. You've been grown all your life.
I think that they don't think that. I think, you know, and I think it's, you know, it's very important as your kids are growing. Please, people, if you have pictures of yourself when you were little, you know, when you were a little kid, then when you became a teenager, and, you know, then you became an adult, if you have those space photos, I think that it would be a great idea to, you know, make sure that they're posted in your house. Make sure that your kids see them, or can go through the family album and look and see, you know, where who you are. You understand what I'm saying? Because you can tell somebody all day long, hey, yeah, I used to blah, blah, blah. But if they can see you being a child, if they can see you being a teenager, if they can see you, and then not only that, but
get involved with your teenager's life. Find out what kind of music they're listening to. You know, see if you can tolerate the music that they're listening to. You might like it. I don't know. Case in point, I have a daughter that is about to turn 16 next month.
Jesus.
She's about to turn baby. 16. And she loves K-pop music. And that's basically like, you know, different, you know, bands from Korea, China, Philippines, you know, just music from all over. But precisely the BT, she's a huge BTS fan. She loves them pieces. And you better not argue her with her about any one of them, because she'll take you down to the death.
She'll take you down. I can't believe death. It.
I have it about her crew. But, you know, teenagers, they, you know, I show my daughter, you know, pictures of me when I was little, when I was younger, when I was a younger mother, when I was, you know, a little girl, you know, and, you know, they look at the pictures and, you know, she's like, oh, mom, look at you. You were so fat and chubby when you was a baby. Oh, mom, look at you. You, oh, wow, you really thinned out right there. Oh, wow, you know, and I don't hide anything from my kids. You know, they know me. They know what I used to do. They know who I become now, you know, and at the same time, but they still think they know it all. Even your grown kids think they know better than their grown parents. They be like, mama, you know, no, this ain't that. This is this. I'm like, child, boo, no.
That's what, you know, it's funny you say that. A lot of your adult kids think they and know more than you until they realize,
it doesn't go like that.
Maybe you are smarter.
It doesn't go like that. The only thing that I think that the younger generation has over the older generation is just electronics. Other than that, you can't tell these old heads nothing. You know what I'm saying? You can't, not at all. You know, man, you cannot tell the cab driver that has, the Uber driver that has been down, 50th and Lake Park a million times, how to go down 50th and Lake Park. You know, he's been there already. You the one ain't been there.
That's right.
If you've never been there, how are you going to tell somebody what to do or what's what? Or, you know, you can't, you know, but I think that all comes with the, because I was thinking about this a lot. I think that that all comes with the whole vulnerability piece of kids being able to be vulnerable, but at the same time thinking they're invincible. Do you understand what I'm saying? You know, when you're young, you're invincible. You don't think about death. You know, you don't think about what consequences. You don't think about that until you're at the point to where you have to think about it. But for the most part, kids are just living their lives willy-nilly. That, you know, especially if they have no direction as to which way they should go. I mean, hopefully you got parents out there teaching them the correct way to go. You know, but that's not the case all the time. But, you know, I mean, I have five children. I didn't raise my first four children. My mother did, because I was out there wilding out. So you said earlier, do you have any for instances? Oh, yeah.
yeah.
A lot of for instances. Absolutely. So many. I mean, you know, so many I had to forgive myself. You understand? You know, sometimes,
yes,
you know,
you
can be your own worst critic. You can beat up on yourself more than anybody else can ever even think that they're, you know, doing to you. You know, you got people out there thinking they say a few words to you, they beating you down. No. You've already beaten up yourself for the mistakes that you've made in your life, or the decisions that and choices that you made in your life. You know, once you get older, you understand, you come to have an understanding that kids just don't have, you know.
Yeah, that's true. It's all with experience, you know, and you are experienced, and that's why you're saying right now that you should listen to your parents, you know. And it's funny, some children do listen to their parents, But you don't know that they listen because they popping and they rolling their eyes the entire time while you're speaking.
I know. I don't know nothing about no popping and rolling eyes. That wasn't happening in our house.
Yeah, but see, one day you'll be sitting around, and like I had a conversation with someone on the earlier podcast. You'll be sitting around minding your own business, and then all of a sudden you hear one of your teenage daughters repeat something you said to one of their friends, and the only thing you can do is go, God, did she just say that? Jesus, she was listening to me the whole time. And that actually makes you feel good, especially when it's something that that person needs to hear, which is food for the soul.
But I'm going to tell you, I'm going to share something with you. If I had to listen to my mother early on in life tell me, go to school, get your education, I wouldn't have been graduating in my 50s, you understand, from college or universities or whatever. But I'm grateful to have been able to do it, because who knew? I didn't know I was going to even do anything like that. I guess it just depends on what the driving force is. And not just that, but what your predestined purpose is in life. You know, I went to prison, and while I was in there, there was so many different things that I was witness to that I just could not believe. You know, it was just so wrong. I was like, oh my God, this is not right. This is wrong. You know, and I made a promise to the girls in there. I was like, you know what? When I get out of here, I'm gonna get my life together, and I'm gonna go back to school, and I'm gonna come back at a different capacity and change some stuff. I'm gonna do it, you know. And
that's fantastic that you decided to do that, you know, because you always had it in you anyway. You
just decided to see, if I had listened to my mother and father tell me, go to school, get your education. Well, I was trying to go to school, but then, you know, it was other things that was happening that had happened to me in my life by that time. You know, I had been through a lot, you know, and I think that's what kicked it off, you know, for me. Listening to your parents has a lot to do with the church. It has a lot to do with what God would want. It has a lot to do with you having a better life for yourself, because your parents can't live your life. They can only tell you what worked for them and what didn't, you know? So, get their experience from. So basically they're handing down to you their experience, their strengths, and their hopes for your future. So it's not to harm you. So if they're telling you, don't go to that party over there, or go straight to school, don't skip out, you know, you might want to listen. I mean, because I know a lot of people who have told their kids, hey, go to school, don't skip out, you know, make sure you go to school. And then they didn't go, and something very bad happened to them. Something very bad happened to them, you know. You know, one friend of mine, you know, she told her, you know, sent her daughter to school, and she's in high school, and she decided she didn't want to go. She went with another friend of hers to her boyfriend's house. Well, you don't know who those people know, and you don't know who they're all involved with, and who don't like them and who hate them or watching them. You know, you just have to really be careful and mindful and listen to instruction. You know, and her mother told her, you know, go to school. She didn't go. She went with a friend. And while she was there, some guys came in, kicked the door in, beat the dudes up, raped the girl, stole all of the money and the drugs or whatever was there. And this girl right now, to this day, she has a very hard time, you know, dealing, you know, life. That's anybody. That's anybody that when you don't listen to them, if your parent told you, if you're supposed to be over there, then that's where you're supposed to be. If you told your parent you was going over there, go where you said you were going. Don't turn around and then go somewhere else and then don't say that's where you are, because it's not so much that your parents don't trust you. It's just that your parents knows what's lurking around these corners and crevices and hallways and doors and dark rooms. And you know, alleged friends. You know, somebody can pretend to be your friend all day and lead you to a trap.
That's correct.
Last year was some girl was supposed to be friends with somebody. She had just got her taxes and they led her somewhere, beat her to death and stole her money. But these were supposed to be her friends, you know?
So yeah, that's tough.
When your parents are telling you, listen to what they're telling you and they're sharing their experiences that they've had, listen to them. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's free to listen, and then it'll be even more freeing to just obey and do what they told you to do in the first place. It'll keep you out of trouble. You know? Yeah.
That's true. Hey, so I got to take a quick break, and then we'll come right back in. Hey, welcome back, Ms. The Poet Lachey Bonique. How are you? Welcome back. Okay, so now let's talk about you. What are you doing now? Because I know that you said, you know, listen to your parents. So what are you doing now? Because you did listen to your parents.
Well, since then, okay, we went down the road. Okay, I have 5 children. My mom raised 4. And I've been to prison. I sold drugs. I used drugs. I did everything that was a part of masking the deep depression that I was going through from things that had happened to me in my life. I had been molested. I had been raped. I don't know. I just really didn't know how to deal with that all. And so I was very unwell. And I didn't have the coping skills or the knowledge or the skill set to reimagine what my life could be or would be had I listened to my parents. I just know that I lived in angst, regret, and hurt and pain. And because of that, I made a lot of erroneous choices that led me to prison. And, you know, due to the circumstances that I didn't get the help for that I needed. And Those circumstances led me into diverse places that a person probably in their right mind would never go, you know, not knowingly. You would never go down those roads knowingly in the way of bad decision making. But no, I didn't listen to my parents earlier in life, and that was because of the things that had happened to me. I didn't know, because I grew up in church and I believed in what the pastor said. When you pray, God hears your prayers, he answers your prayers, and you know, God was this all-loving God. It would never let anything happen to you. But then when certain things started to happen to me and family members in my life, it kind of made me question who God was for real. And maybe he really wasn't listening to me. And, you know, because I remember praying some prayers for my grandmother. And as I'm in the chapel praying, my grandmother lays dying in the hospital room. So it was just so many different things that made me feel like God was not, he wasn't there, and he wasn't listening to me. So I can imagine that I felt like a child in the wilderness alone.
Right.
And in incredulous pain. And when you're in pain like that, you're just looking for a way to numb it. And so I looked for a way to numb it and to make the situation better mentally for me to be able to deal with. And that just ended up proving wrong and working out in other manifestations of that comes when you open up doors and windows that should be shut.
Right, right.
You know, and so since that, though,
I've had to forgive myself. You know, you hear about, you know, making amends to the people that you've wronged, or making amends to your family members and, you know, whoever you harm, basically. And you try to make those amends, but those people will only accept you when they love you and they know that you had not intended harm for their lives. They will only accept you in that moment when they know or have a little bit more of understanding or maturity to see what issues are and what they're not. But in my situation, okay, I grew past, God bless me, to get past a whole lot. You know, people were dying out there on the streets and using drugs and making drug deals or sales. And it was just a lot happening, you know, all around me. And I guess perhaps I felt like that's where I was supposed to be, because that's what was happening, because God wasn't listening to me. I didn't think he was listening to me, you know. But I think that once you reach a point in your mindset that there ultimately that there has got to be something better than what there's got to be a better way of living life than this. You know, there's got to be a better, I mean, what is the way? When you seek it out and you try to find it, you know, with the same tenacity that you tried to find anything else, you know, you find yourself at a crossroads where either you're going to live or you're going to die.
That is correct.
And that's just the bottom line. When they say jails, institutions, and death, and not necessarily in that order, that is the truth, because somebody else's story may not be your story. Somebody else's story may be that they die right instantaneously, while your story correct. May be you suffer to the bottom and die, or you suffer to the bottom and then you're given a reprieve, you know, a blessing to come up out of that little hole. But since then, I've gone to school. I've obtained, well, first of all, I had to obtain my high school diploma. I did that. And then I got my associate's degree. And then I got my bachelor's degree. And
woohoo!
Yeah. Hey!
Let's celebrate that. Yeah. Shake it off. Yeah.
Class of 2020 is in the building.
What? Yes. Say what?
2 degrees last year. I got 2 degrees, my associate's and my bachelor's last year. So that in itself, I'm still kind of like reeling from that, because a lot of other people may feel like, well, yeah, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to grow up and you know, you do what your parents say, and then you go to school and you find somebody that you love, you get married, you settle down, you raise a family, you get a job, and you're living the American dream there. You know, but, you know, I believe that the only Americans that live the American dream are the 2% that have the money, the health care, and the wherewithal, the education, and the connection.
You are correct.
They're living the American dream that
you are correct.
That they put out for society to try to chase up to. But
you are correct.
Yeah. But I mean, it's nothing wrong with having something to strive for. It's just that whole, you know, it being what it is, you know.
That's true. So you also, because you got the title poet in your name.
Oh, yeah.
Come on, tell us about this. Okay, go ahead.
So, yeah. So while I was going through all of my transitions, from the drug stage, from the using and the selling, and in prison and before prison, I would write about what I was going through. This lady that I knew, she gave me this blue journal, really shiny, shimmery, pretty, huge blue journal. And she was like, Lachey, whenever you're feeling whatever you're feeling, just write it down. You know, just write it, write down how you feel, you know, just get it off of you. And I'm like, right. Okay. So, you know,
every now and then something would hit me so hard and I just grabbed the first thing. Sometimes I couldn't grab the blue journal. Sometimes I could, you know, but for the most part, I would write down how I felt in that journal. I would talk about what my day was like and how I, you know, how I went, you know, whatever that was. And then I noticed that my writing started to change because not only was I writing, but I was also reading the Bible a little bit more. And I was contemplating, you know, life and living life a little bit more and wanting to live life and wanting to make necessary changes, you know? And so I was in that frame of mind. And so my writing, I believe, became God's way of ministering to me, because God will meet you where you are and he will not only accommodate you through your processes, but he will word you. He will give you words by your mouth or by your hands or by your deeds. Word is bond, period. No matter how it's going to come, it is what it is. And so I just started writing about, you know, what I was going through. And so my writing style started to, you know, I was angry. I was very angry. I was in the thick of, in the rawness of the emotions that I was feeling whenever I was feeling them. And what I wrote to what I was feeling. And so this one particular day I wrote something and I was like, oh my God, I was like really amazed at it myself. After I went back to read it, I was like, wow. I was like, wait a minute, this sound like poetry. You know, now, mind you, it's not like I'm some cretin off the street that never picked up a book and never read poetry. Please don't get it twisted, okay? My favorite poet, I have favorite poets, you know, I have so many different favorite poets. Oh my God, Maya Angelou, Langston Hughes, Edgar Allan Poe, Walt Whitman. There's a list I could hold you hostage with, but
that's fantastic.
But no, so I started writing from this place of anger and pain and hurt and could possibly end up in a place that you just don't want to find yourself. And I do this piece because, first of all, I'm a female. Second of all, because you hear guys talk about it, but you rarely ever hear women talk about it. And for those that do talk about it, it's because they want to also carry the message of hope and carry the message of discipline and obedience and education, you know, and what those importances are, especially when you are an African in America. You know, you really need to listen to the predecessors. You need to listen to those, the ancestors, those that have come before us, you know, when they tell you what is acceptable and what is not. And I don't mean in those instances where sometime doing something radical has to be done. I mean, whereas it pertains to you living your young life and being the best at that. You don't want to end up, you know, at some crack house or some heroin lair or some prison cell or some abandoned building or some basement or some, you know, someplace, you know, I mean, I was going to perform Department of Corrections, but then I thought about it because most people have an idea of what jail is like because, you know, they have all these reality shows and, you know, shows that, you know, Orange is the New Black that kind of gives you a picture of what it's like. You know, so they have that. And, you know, but what they may not have is the picture before you get to that.
Right.
This piece right here is called The Basement. And I wrote this piece. It is a true piece. Everything in my book is true. It's not anything nothing is made up. Everything has happened.
it's either happened to me or it's happened to people that are very close to me that I love. And it made me feel some kind of way. So I wrote about it. So this piece, though, is called The Basement. The basement. From the corner to the hallways or abandoned buildings to the basement, as to jails, institutions, and eventually death. Like most addicts, there are dealers that eventually become addicts themselves or die before going to jail. Like prostitutes, as to pimps, from the corner to the block strips, laid out in territorial maps by the so-called callers, ballers, as so named. Runaways, castaways, drifters, and loners, regular people that have given up on life, so now they are controlled, ran up and down to the sort of nothingness that stresses the so-called normal eye, like policemen, the vice, and the DEA, all the way to the FBI, corrupting as crooked as a five-year-old coloring outside of the line, struggling to get it straight, from raids to planting drugs and surveillance cameras out on a stakeout, and snitches and setups and frames wide enough to hang us all. From the tables and chairs that seat addicts neatly in a circle to snort, smoke, and shoot up while exchanging stories of who they used to be as to what they have or had back when, promising that one day they are going to stop using people and themselves. Short or long stories of how they ended up in the basement in the first damn place. Stories about who died and why. Stories about who went through the pockets and stole from the dead before calling the police. Tales about how Nene died and they dumped her body in the alley. Arguments of shorting the split, running off with the cut, and paybacks. Yeah. Tales of Beth carrying her baby but can't stop smoking while in labor and moving the plate closer for one hit off her crack pipe as her water breaks and blood runs down her legs with onlookers shaking their heads as they continue to smoke, shoots up, snort, while some concerned addict rushes her out basically to steal what she has left as they close and lock the door behind her. Tells of Lori Hawal and how she OD'd off of antidepressants and street drugs and how they moved her body from the table to the hallway as cameras and lights peered on and word spread across the 5 o'clock news. From the suburbs to the corners to the hallways and abandoned buildings to the basement.
Good. That's fantastic. Let me tell you, the first time I read that, I just got quiet and I sat and I stared in the room for like 10 minutes. And I was like, wow, you know, your writing is so fantastic. You can see, it's like you can see it as you write. As I'm reading it, I'm like, I can see this. It's like I went outside of my body and I stood right next to you while you were writing it, or even I was there. Because it's you're right, it's so fantastic.
Well, it must be true.
Where can they find your book?
People say that all the time. It's like, I'm right there. It's like, it's so clear. I can see it. It's like, I can see it. It's right there. And that's the gift that God has given me. That is one of the gifts that he has given me, you know, to be able to express myself in such a way. You know, I don't take it lightly. You know, I feel I respect it. It's a lifeline. I don't know what I would do without it. It's a lifeline, you know? It's a lifeline. You know, you have to be able to, in your growing process, from not listening to my parents to this point right here where I am right now.
Hey, that's fantastic. I'm going to ask you for one more. Can you do one more for me? And this one is Call Me Crazy. And the reason why I want you to read this is because I think that especially a lot of young women need to hear, you know, that, you know, and me being a male, but I totally understand it. Like, call me crazy into like saying, you know, these are the things I want and you can't provide them. So can you, it's I know it's a short poem,
but can
you read that one for me?
I can do that for you. Call me crazy.
Call me crazy, but I want crazy, ridiculous. I can't live without you consuming way down deep, fire burning inside, love churning, turning. Butterfly jittering, finger licking, lip smacking, toe tapping, and cuddle napping. Stargazing, a wonderfully amazing hand holding, smile controlling, public kissing, starlight wishing, popcorn movie watching, sweetheart, honey, baby, darling, talking, beach walking. Together, we can make it kind of love. So, if you can't provide these things, then stop wasting my time.
That's what I'm talking about.
Stop wasting my time.
Shut your mouth, girl. Yeah, you are. Hey, so where can we find this book?
Anywhere books are sold online. You can just put my name in Google. A million things will pop up. You click on that link, and then you can order books for yourself. You can order books for somebody that you know may be locked up or going through a transition in their lives, and they just may need a little hope, because that's what inspired me to write, to publish my pieces, was to be able to give back and to share my experience, strength, and hope, so that somebody else coming behind me can make it and understand that they are not alone. So yeah, anywhere books are sold online, you are able to purchase the poetry,
the paradigm. Woohoo! Thank you so much. Oh my God, I got chills going down my spine right now. And guys, if you guys want me to continue bringing this content, please, I'll still bring it to you for free. But if you want to sponsor me, you can do 99 cents a month, $4.99 a month, or $9.99 a month. You know, and you can just start with 99 cents just so that I can continue to bring this content to you each and every single month. Thank you so much, Lachey. I appreciate it. Guys, don't forget to go and look on. You're welcome. Guys, don't forget to go and look on Amazon and look for The Paradigm of Poetry Through Life Lessons by Lachey M. Johnson. Thank you so much.
Bye.
Bye.